It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be saved. Let's go to the Lord at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for gathering us together to worship you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we can be attentive as we study your word, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that if there's one here that does not know you today as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. I pray, Lord, that we can leave here with a better understanding of your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we can have a closer walk with you each day, Lord. Help us to leave here with a closer walk. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. The title of this message is called Three Looks. Three Looks. Second Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue. And unto virtue, knowledge. And unto knowledge, temperance. And unto temperance, patience. And unto patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. He talks about all the fruits of Christianity here. He talks about the process in which Christians grow in the Lord. And he says that if you're lacking these things, you've forgotten what was most important. And he says, if that's the case, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you are really saved to begin with. You might want to check up on yourself, on your salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, but faith without works is dead faith. Amen? So he talks about these fruits of Christianity. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, except ye be reprobates. Both of these verses are called calls to self-examination. Self-examination. There is an inward look. Look at yourself and examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. There's an inward look. Now understand, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. They're a very carnal bunch of believers. They were comparing preachers among themselves. Well, that preacher's better than this preacher, and that apostle's better than that apostle. And it's a very carnal thing to be impressed with men in the first place. And there was adultery and incest in that church. Christians were taking other Christians to court over small things and basically letting lost people judge things that was going on in the court. There was disorder in the families. They were turning the Lord's Supper into a sacrilegious feast. There was disorder in that church. And they was covetous on the labor. They thought that, well, my job is more important than everybody's, and they were comparing each other based on what job they had or what spiritual gift that they have, but they also lacked love. The whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 was rebuking them for their lack of love. He's telling them that they needed to love one another. And some even doubted the resurrection. And that is why he went as far as to say, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. So there is an inward look. And I believe every Christian needs to take an inward look and ask that question. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. There are many people today that come to church houses and they're religious but lost. They're religious, but lost. Not long after I got saved, I realized that because I've seen people in churches who sat years in church, and they came to the altar and got saved. There was a lady in her mid-80s. She saw that church be built. She was a faithful member of that church. She saw pastors come and go. She saw deacons come and go. She saw church members come and go. But one day, the right button got pressed. The Holy Spirit got a hold to her soul, convicted her. And at the end of the message, this lady come to the altar and just melted. And we thought, well, maybe she's praying for a loved one or a relative or something. And the preacher got down there with her and was praying with her and everything and was opening his Bible up to her. And he stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, she just got saved. And everybody was shocked. They thought, well, she's been here the whole time I've been here. Everybody was amazed. There are many people who sit in churches and they're religious but lost. Don't think for one second that you're going to heaven because you are a member of this church. Don't think for one second that you're going to heaven because you pay your tithe. Don't think for one minute you're going to heaven because you call yourself a Christian. Are you born again? What matters at the end of the day is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul. Are you saved or are you lost? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe, so that you may know. Amen? It's not a think-so salvation. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's not a, well, I'm just doing my best salvation. It is black and white. There is no gray area. There is absolutely no gray area. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. There is an inward look. But even saved people must do an inward look from time to time. Am I growing like I should? Am I growing like I should? Is the Lord leading me to do something and I'm not doing it? It's a call to grow. It's a call to sanctification. Christians need to grow every single day. Amen? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 139. Psalm 139. verse 23. Psalm 139, 23. David's writing, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He's asking the Lord, "Search me." You know, the Lord knows everything about you. If you read the whole chapter of Psalm 139, he addresses the Lord is omniscient. He addresses his omnipresence. He addresses the sovereignty and omnipotency of God. He addresses God as his creator. He addresses God as all wise, all wisdom. He addresses the holiness and the justice of God. And he goes to God and says, "Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That is somebody who's wanting to grow in his walk with the Lord. Are you wanting to grow in your walk with the Lord, or are you just lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? Many churches today are dead. All they are is a country club with a steeple on it. That's all they are. They're full of pride, and they like to say, "Well, look how many people we won to the Lord today." They have these long lists of numbers on their wall saying, "Look how many people that we've won to the Lord today." I'd rather let God count, amen? I'd rather let God count. Tear your stinking numbers down and let God do the counting. It's pride. It's arrogance. And really and truly, a lot of these people that they're calling saved have no fruit. They have no fruit in their lives. You ask them, "Do you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead?" "Well, I don't know." Well, that may be a goat and not a sheep. And all they're doing is trying to convince a bunch of goats how to act like sheep. That's all they're doing. Pride does not impress God. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 John. 2 John 1. Second John. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." That is eternal security, if I have ever seen eternal security. Amen. "Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." So John is writing to a lady and he's saying, "I'm impressed with how your children are walking. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." What's he saying here? Look to yourselves. Look inside. It's an inward look. "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." He is saying, look, you're doing a good job. You've led your children to the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. Understand that you got to grow in love and everything, but don't lose ground in your growth. that you lose not those things. Don't lose the ground that you've gained with your children, because there are false teachers out there that want to sift your children like wheat. You don't want to lose ground, and you don't want to lose your reward, because your children, they're your reward. You don't want to lose your children to the world, amen? You don't want to lose your children to the world. It's a call to self-examination. Am I growing in the Lord? Am I being faithful? Am I witnessing? You don't want to lose your crown and your reward, amen? Not only is there an inward look, but there's an upward look. An inward look is a look of self-examination. An upward look is a look of expectation and trust. Let's go to Psalms chapter 5. Are you trusting the Lord like you should? Psalms chapter 5. Psalms 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. There's an upward look. He's talking of expectation of God hearing his prayer. Whenever you pray to God, do you have all the confidence in the world that God hears you? Or are you just praying out of habit? Are you just praying out of habit because that's just what you're used to doing? David here is saying, my voice shalt thou hear. That's a definite statement right there. That is full confidence and trust in the Lord. And I will look up. Are you looking up today? Are you trusting the Lord and expecting Him to be who He says He is? God hears prayer. Amen. The Lord never ceases to amaze me at how good He is at hearing prayer. I write all these prayer requests down, and it's a joy to hear the Lord answered this prayer. The Lord answered that prayer. It's a wonderful thing to count how many blessings the Lord has done throughout each month. Amen? For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. He's expecting God to be just. You can look up and expect God to be just. Amen? The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. God is just. You can count on that. He is just. But He's also merciful. You are saved by grace through faith. Amen? In the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. You can also expect God to lead. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, and their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. King David had many adversaries, didn't he? He had many adversaries. He was all the time going to war. But God fought his battles for him. Is God fighting your battles for you, or are you trusting your own works? Are you trusting your own works? Is God fighting your battles? But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Are you trusting the Lord? You have something to rejoice over. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You ought to expect God to be your defender. Are you trusting God to be your defender? This world is full of confusion. This world is full of destruction. I can't stand to turn the news on today. And they talk much about what can go wrong tomorrow. What can go wrong next week. But if God is your defender, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Are you trusting the Lord? Are you looking up? There is an inward look. There is an upward look. God is faithful. Amen. You're looking at Him to hear your prayers. You're looking at Him in expectation because He is just. You're looking to Him for His mercy. You're looking to Him to lead you. You're looking up for Him to defend you. How about provide? Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Excuse me, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Are you looking up to God for your provider? Why are you worried then? Why is your peace lacking? Why is your joy lacking? Look up. Trust the Lord. He's your provider. He's your defender. He's your leader. He's holy. He's just. He's also merciful. And He hears your prayer. Amen. There is an inward look. There is an upward look. What about an outward look? What about an outward look? Y'all are in Matthew. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's saying, look out there. There's an outward look. You have a purpose as a Christian to preach the gospel. Your purpose in life is not to impress people. Your purpose in life is to fear God and keep His commandments and to preach the gospel to every creature. There's an outward look. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Keep going to the right. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10:1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest, his harvest. He's saying, look out there. There's a harvest, but there's no laborers. There's a harvest. There are souls out there, but there's no laborers. You got to have an outward look. Are you concerned for the souls of others? Are you committed to preach the gospel? Are you committed to witness? Are you committed to telling your neighbor about Jesus? Amen? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The Lord just met the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 35. The woman at the well. He was talking to a Samaritan woman at the well, and his disciples come up to him. And he says this, John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look out in the field. Outward look. Look out into the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. They were in Samaria talking to Jews. And he's saying, look out there. The harvest is great. It's ready for harvest. These people did not like the Samaritans. And the Samaritans didn't like them. And he's pointing to people that they didn't like. And he's saying, witness to them. It don't matter if you like them or not. You're called as a Christian to give the Great Commission and preach the gospel to every creature. You might think that that person you don't like is a bad little creature, but you're called to give the gospel to them. Amen? You're supposed to love your neighbor and witness to him. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and he that gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. It's good to go out into the fields and witness to people. It is a blessing to witness. It is a blessing to see people come to the Lord. It's a blessing. Everywhere you go is a person you see. Everywhere you go is a person you see. And that person has a soul. Every person you meet has a soul. And they're going to die one day and go to heaven or hell. That's a reality that needs to sink into every Christian's mind, that everybody you meet is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. New Jerusalem or the lake of fire. You're called to love them. You're called to witness to them. No man knows the day nor hour. Every day, though, that goes by. Every hour that goes by. Every second that goes by is another moment closer to the Lord's coming. Are you ready? And if you're ready, there's a bunch of people out there that ain't ready. There's a bunch of people out in the world that ain't ready. What are you going to do? Are you going to ignore the call to witness? Or are you going to go out into the field and be a laborer for the Lord? The fields are white, ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. Are you going to say, here I am, Lord, send me? Or are you going to cower and back and be comfortable and lukewarm Maybe you want to take an inward look if that's you. Maybe you're struggling with many fears. Maybe you're struggling with many questions. Maybe you're struggling and wondering, why is things happening like this? And you're confused. Well, God's not the author of confusion. Look up. Have an upward look and trust the Lord. Are you burdened for souls? Take a look out there. Have an outward look. Don't be critical. Don't be judgmental. You can't expect a lost person to act like a Christian. We're called to give them the gospel and love them. Give them the gospel and love them. Do you have a burden for souls? Are you examining yourself? Are you looking up and trusting? Are you looking out and evangelizing? Look in, examine yourself. Look up, trust, and look out, evangelize. Those are three looks that every Christian must have to be a fruitful Christian. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for gathering us together. I pray that this is helpful. I pray that this is a blessing. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to look up and trust you. Help us to look out and evangelize. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today could be the day of salvation. Maybe there's someone here that has not had a burden for souls. Maybe there's someone here that's saved, but they haven't grown much. Maybe there's someone here today that's not trusting like they should. I pray that you can settle it in their heart that they can trust you. Give them the confidence that they need to trust you each day to be their defender, to be their leader, to be their provider. Lord, I just pray that you fill each heart with love and understanding for your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Has God spoken to your heart? You mind the Lord today. Why don't you come and get it settled in this altar today? Why don't you come? pray that all hearts and minds are at peace this morning. And I pray that each and every one of you has a safe week this week. And I pray, Lord, I pray that each one of us tells somebody about Jesus today. Brother Jim, can you close us in prayer?